And our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, also found on the same back page of the bulletin. Then they, and this is Jesus and his disciples, arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. But now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. As I read the account on the emergency floor at Orlando Regional Medical Center last Sunday morning, it sounded like the staff had been caught up in a war. The shooter, Omar Mateen, was tangled in his own disturbed emotional life, in his listening to radical clerics inviting such young people as him to kill Westerners, in judgmental, fundamentalist rhetoric against GLBT people, priests in some Christian churches and in some Islamic mosque. He also took advantage of the insane access that exists in our country to weapons of war with horrible killing power. And his family came from Afghanistan, a country torn by decades of war. Omar, at 29, is dead. And so are 49 beautiful young men and women out for a night of enjoyment, caught up in the deadly motives that drove Omar to kill them and injure so many more. We live in violent and troubled times, and we know that here at Lakeview. There have been a number of tragic young black men who have died in gun violence. The books that the Sunday morning class has been discussing have hammered home the reality and the terrible cost of racism for black people. And today we were reading about the horrible cost for immigrants who are in our country undocumented. Cost of racism includes social structures that have led to poor schools, an unequal law enforcement in our communities, and a lack of jobs and a presence in the community of drugs and guns. And you could add a lot more to that. In this troubled time, we're given a really different vision about what life could look like
by our scriptures in Luke and in Galatians. Jesus and his disciples have crossed the Sea of Galilee. You didn't hear that part. But they were in a big bad storm, and the disciples thought they were going to drown. But they didn't. They were with Jesus. They arrive in this country on the other side of Galilee, and it's very opposite geographically and culturally and spiritually. I mean, my gosh, these people eat pork, a foreign, unclean food for Jews. That was a big deal back then. And those people have not heard about God or about Jesus' healing powers. In this foreign place, Jesus is met by a man filled with demons. He's naked and living in a cemetery with the dead. He's out of control. He's lost his name. He can't even say a name except Legion, which means many. Many evil spirits are controlling him. There's a war going on in him. He's cut off from his own people, and he's unclean. He's a very troubled man. And Jesus enters into that chaos where there is pain and fear and confusion. Legion is overwhelmed and paralyzed with all kinds of conflicting emotions. In Jesus' day, I'm sure you all know, demons were seen as evil, destructive powers that could take over a person. There was great power in this collective in him, but there was absolutely no unity. Legion, that man in the cemetery, had lost all control of his life and his identity. This is a messy scene. Then Jesus heals him. Jesus restores his personhood to him. He was naked and divided, and now he is clothed and in his right mind. In a new, tragic way, I see the chaos of Legion's confusion come alive in a man like Omar, the shooter in Orlando. What folks in Jesus' day called demons, we might call mental illness, the effects of racism, prejudice against gay and lesbian folks, and greed that makes all kinds of guns available to angry, fearful, disturbed people, as well as the social injustices that bring chaos into our lives. Each of us struggles with physical issues and emotional issues and family issues and aging issues I know about. We may worry about not having enough money to pay the bills. Jesus brought healing into the life of that foreigner who had been plagued by the legion of demons. I wonder, what are some of the anxieties that you might be struggling with in your life? Ask yourself, what am I struggling with that maybe sometimes may even seem out of control? Just think about that for a moment. Is there anything in your life that might be separating you from God or from other people, people that are meaningful in your life right now? We always have the chance to ask Jesus to do something for us, to bring healing into our lives. And we're going to have that chance in the service in a little bit. So ask yourself the question, what do I want Jesus to do for me right now? Could be about you, or it could be about some other situation. We are including in our worship today a service for wholeness and healing. That means you'll be given the opportunity to come forward with any concerns you might have. Perhaps your prayer will grow out of the questions you've just been reflecting on. Pastor Gene and I will be available for you to share it one-on-one, kind of in a very private way, what healing you might want Jesus to bring into your life or your prayers for something else, somebody else in the world around you. And then we will offer up to God in prayer what you have asked Jesus to do for you. And if you're comfortable during that prayer time, we will place our hands on your head or your shoulders, which is called laying on of hands. And again, if you choose, we will anoint your head with oil in the sign of the cross, saying, I anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Both laying on of hands and anointing are very physical ways of sharing with you God's love and presence. And you may also choose, all of you may choose, and that's okay, to stay in your seats. If you do, we would invite you to use the time of silence to lift up any concerns you might have. After the man is healed, he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, go back home and share how much God has done for you in your life. And so he does. You know, the community from which the man in the scripture had been ejected because of his illness didn't know anything about Jesus. And his power was very frightening to those people. They had seen, they knew the man, what he was like before, and now they saw him totally different. And they also heard stories about all those dead pigs, which is a real economic disaster, I think, for at least one person. And probably the swine herds had lost their jobs, and I don't know what else, how it affected the people. These scared people were the ones Jesus sent the man to testify to about Jesus' love for him. I think we experience healing here, too, at Lakeview. Some of us know people around us who don't know Jesus. Well, I would say there are a lot of people around us who don't know Jesus, and they don't know the kind of healing that Jesus can bring into our lives. You know, in Luke, Jesus crosses a lot of boundaries when he goes in that boat across the Sea of Galilee, and he plans to bring the kingdom of God into the life of this very confused man on the other side. And in a sense, kind of just a beginning of a new message for all of those folks who didn't know anything about God's love. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, also helps us see the healing that Jesus brings into our lives, but in the context of the church, the body of Christ. He writes that as we are in the body of Christ, experiencing Christ's love in our lives, that we are changed into new creatures, and all the old boundaries and divisions and walls that are used to separate us are just destroyed. In Jesus Christ, we're all children of God through our faith. The scriptures are clear that we are like the man in Luke. We are sent home to tell others what Jesus has done for us. Drawing on Jesus' mission across the sea and Paul's clear reminder of our unity in Christ, our calling includes welcoming people who are different from us, even opposite from us. Paul says in Galatians something like this, interpreted for now, in Jesus Christ, there are no undocumented humans or citizens, or homeless, or those with homes, or blacks or whites, or richer or poorer. There are only people in need of healing in their lives around us. And we are to share the stories of healing that we've experienced through Jesus' presence. So I invite you to know that Jesus, who healed the chaos in the life of that man named Legion, is here, right now, here among us. And he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you, for your community? So I invite you to answer his question. Be open to Jesus' healing presence. And then step back and notice, what is Jesus doing for you? And then go share your stories with those whose lives are in chaos all around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence and love in the middle of chaos, in the scriptures and in our lives, in this very tragic, chaotic time in which we live. We thank you that your love and your presence provides a different kind of vision about what is possible in the world in which we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.